I am very thankful tonight for the Prince of Peace and the King of Glory who has come to give us the very best of everything that's good. And we are completing Him. And we have all we need in Him. And we can have the fullness of joy in Him. And we can have a peace that passes understanding in Him. I marvel at us as humans, how we will run from God and how we will hide from His presence, when in reality, all that He has for us is good, His righteousness and peace. Is to be with Him in paradise, and to be with Him in the eternal heaven. So I'm glad tonight to know the Lord. I count it a humbling privilege, and it seems to me like, after the fact, everybody should want to be saved. And I feel as if, myself, I should want, and others who are saved should want nothing more, nothing better than to serve the Lord in holiness all the days of our life. John's the Baptist father, in his prophecy of the advent of Christ, and the advent and the birth of John, his son, said that we might serve Him without fear and holiness all the days of our life. We serve a mighty God, folks. We serve a wonderful God. Young and old alike here tonight, there is no one more interested in you and your welfare than your Heavenly Father. He loves you. The hairs of your head are numbered. And He loves you enough to come and visit us, challenge us, warn us, warm us, hold us, caress us. Isaiah said in 66, dandle us on His knees. My little nephews were out at the house here. And you pick them up and you hold them and you dandle them on your knees. And you know what you try to do? You try to elicit a smile from them. And that smile is your reward. Maybe you poke them in the stomach a little bit or tug on the ear or make a funny face. And I know God doesn't do that. But at the same time, He's trying to solicit and have coming out from us praise and a beautiful smile. I want us to think a little tonight about a subject that's not new, but the devil wants to steal. The devil wants to take away from us. I want to think a little bit, and this won't be an expository of absolutely all that can be said, but it's part of it. Jesus said something. The word I want us to think about tonight is the word one. O-N-E. Jesus, in His words, said that if your eye be single, then your whole body, your whole being, is full of light. The prophets of old warned that if our eyesights get dim, if our vision is impaired, if we fail to see, if we fail to behold, then people begin to perish. People begin to die. Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians, or just 2nd, maybe, this gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, is that it, should shine on them. That's really close. The word tonight is that you and I recognize that there's one God, one Savior, one body, one faith, one heaven, one means of salvation, and that our eye needs to be single, our affections need to be centered on and single, our ambition should be based upon the oneness of God, not a multiplicity of heavens and degrees of heaven, but one heaven, one goal, one to press to and to press onward for, one to die for, one to live for. God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. That there are many spirits, but one Holy Spirit. You and I have a wonderful privilege of being introduced to Him, to God the Father, to God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. You and I have been instructed by the Bible and by the Spirit in the oneness and the uniqueness of God. There was a time in the Corinthian church when there was a little bit of rivalry, at least among the parishioners. And they were choosing up who they, I suppose, seemed to enjoy the leadership of better or the ministry of. And that's a human trait. And one would say, I'm of Paul. Others said, I'm of Cephas, Apollos. One may be of Christ. And Paul wrote to them, admonishing them, and said, is Christ divided? The answer is no, Christ is not divided. The brother spoke to us this afternoon about a true vine. He's the only vine. And he's the only name given. When we study the Word, when we study the Bible, we'll find out that God is not interested in branching Himself out to meet the conditions and the fallacies of mankind on their level. But He's interested in unifying us through His Son to Himself and to bring us into fellowship together with Him. Not in a hodgepodge, cosmopolitan, spread them out, let them feed their own selves and drink their own wine and do their own thing. But to unify us, to draw all men to the Son of righteousness, when He was lifted up, was for the express purpose to draw men to Him and His ability to save and deliver from sin. There was not a half a dozen Christ crucified. There was one. There was one that was lifted up. And there was one that said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. The Lord said concerning one, upon this rock, upon our testimony of faith and trust and commitment and acknowledgement of Him, I will build my church. How far have we gone as humans? How far have we drifted away as mankind? There's a plurality of beliefs, plurality of churches, plurality of so-called Christ. Lord, help us tonight, we look into this briefly, that we recognize that we have been introduced to the one God, to the one Savior, to the one body, to the one truth, to the one baptism, to the one immersion of the Lord Jesus Christ in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I suppose you're thinking about the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I am. The Lord wants you and me to be very careful because the enticements and the appeals are out there. My nephew and I were talking this afternoon about a shopping center in Shreveport, and it was the first quote-unquote branching out in Shreveport of shopping centers. So everybody kind of, if you're from Shreveport, you know about a place called Shreve City. Shreve City has been surpassed. Shreve City has been passed over and everything. It's had its day. But just recently, a company named Walmart decided they were going to go in there and tear a building or so down, connect up to some of the existing, and they're going to build a new, or have built a new Walmart store there. Because of that, he and I were talking, you're going to begin and already are seeing satellites, people who want to take advantage of the fact that Walmart is there now, and it's been established as a big company, and it'll draw people. There's going to be a lot of people congregating around to build their businesses and their restaurants, their clothing stores there. It seems like people like to allow the work of someone else and then ride in on their coattail. The Lord Christ came to establish holiness in the kingdom of God in the heart of the believers. You and me have been called to be His saints. We've been called out of sin. We've been called to be separate and touch not the unclean, and I'll receive you and be a father to you. I want us tonight to know there's one church, one body, one Christ, one Lord. That you and me be very careful with our eyes and our ears and our heart and our affections and our prayers, lest the door one moment left unguarded, an evil thought will enter there. The danger of an evil thought is they're promiscuous, they're very fruitful, and they can produce after their own kind rapidly. Unguarded thoughts, unguarded questions, unguarded doubts that we do not take to God in prayer and open ourselves up for counsel of the Almighty are very dangerous. Our ears, who listen to more than we need to at times and things that we can't help sometimes, left unguarded can be an entrance to questions that will generate into unbelief if we are not living close and trusting very candidly in God our Father. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. I don't know the spirit of this message tonight. I want it to be one of encouragement, but I'm willing for it to be one of warning, of challenge, of a dire caution. John said, try the spirits. See if they be of God or not. You know, we, mankind tonight, when I say we do not try the spirits. We're willing to take the name of Jesus on the door, the name of Christian on a place, and say, good enough for me. And people are staking their eternal souls on it. Church of God, hear us tonight, not because it's me, but the word is one. Many, many, many false spirits and teachers and corruptible influences have gone forth, even to the point of denying the Lord who sent them and raised them up, or raised up the truth. And denying power of the Godhead to totally deliver and make clean. Many spirits have gone out with the number one purpose of deceiving in a way that they would coddle the flesh and make allowances for the flesh. Hear what I say. God give us all understanding. The message of the gospel is to forsake sin, to leave it. That's the message of the gospel. Come out. The message of the gospel is, and He will save His people from their sins. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. Let's read here a little bit. It's a wonderful chapter. It points out so much of what God wants to do. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, I beseech you, I plead with you, that you recognize that you've been called to be saints. You've been called unto holiness. You've been called to glorify God in your body, your spirits, which belong to God. That you walk worthy of the vocation of having been washed in the blood, redeemed by the blood. A sacrifice of the blood was for your sins. That you walk in a way that brings honor and respect to the name of Him who called you. That you walk in such a way that brings honor and respect to the one who died for you. That you walk worthy in that you walk in obedience to the one who died for you. That you not walk contrary, sloppily. That you not walk in a way that would diminish the beauty and the glory of the holiness of God and the price and what He came for. That our demeanor and our words, that our actions and our dress glorify God. That we draw attention not to ourselves, but unto Him, our Maker, as Brother Leslie told us. That when people see you and people see me, the Christian, they don't go on about our looks or our persona, but they go on about the One who reigns in us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk worthy. Walk in a way that brings glory and honor to the name for which we are called, wherewith we are called. The calling of the Lord is specific. The calling of the Lord is purposeful. The calling of the Lord is not to leave us in the mangles of sin and the tangles of man's living and the confusion of the doctrines of man. With all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another in love. Not only showing forth God in our temporal and our actions, maybe physically animated in jobs and professions and words, but in our human relationships. To have a deep love and respect one for another. This one of the bad spirits, the false spirits that are gone forth, is a gossiping spirit. Another one is a tale-bearing spirit. Another one is a spirit that would have you or me misunderstand someone in the body of Christ. There's spirits that are gone forth that would tell me if I can't get along with someone, I pack up my Bible, my notepad, and I'll just go somewhere else. I don't know that the Lord ever commanded that. The Lord speaks to us about doing everything we have within us and all the grace we possess to keep the unity of the faith. Our obligation is not to go off on our own. Our obligation is not to get our feelings hurt and get puffed up about something and say, well, I won't go there anymore. Our obligation is to humble ourselves before the mighty God and say, Lord, help me, because I want to keep the unity that you have brought forth in the world, that they may be one. See? Not that they be scattered because one likes something and one doesn't. Because they cannot meet at an altar and pray through their differences, and they go off here and they go off there. When they want someone wants to bring strange fire in, and will not hear of anything but that, and not humbling themselves, and when that way doesn't go over, I'll just pack up and go somewhere else. That they may be one, as the Father and the Son are one. That's the Word of God. The one is unique in the Bible. It speaks of the relationship of Jesus and the Father and of the Church and the Son and of the saints and to the saints, endeavoring, using all the power within me and God-given grace to keep that which is God has ordained to be. I would think if we're not willing to forbear and long-suffer and humble ourselves and meekly understand that every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and I am susceptible to that, I believe we're doing dishonor to the vocation. Because God has called us to be one. God has an expectation that Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you, speaking of the Lord. Just one area. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit is vital. It cannot be overstated. Cannot be overdescribed. The Spirit of God is Christ. It is God. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit speaks of Christ. The things that He hears Christ say. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, excuse me, is an intercessor. When you and me come to the places that we can go no further, He makes intercession for us with groanings that we cannot utter. He is in us and sensitive to us and knows us. And I cannot afford the luxury of just arbitrarily at my own will separate myself from the unity of that Spirit. The Spirit of God has great latitude, and that's not the word I want, discretion. He has great understanding of how to give gifts to the body of Christ. And it's understandable, because we're human, that all of those gifts will not understand each other. But we can understand the Spirit. We can understand the Lord. We can, with lowliness and meekness of mind, submit to the Spirit. I am in no way preaching or talking to us tonight about everything that comes in. Just say, well, I don't understand it. It's of the Spirit. I'll take it. No. But the Bible does say, try them. But you read down a little further, and He gave gifts. And He gave them not to one or not to two, but He gave them differently, I believe in Corinthians, severally as He wills, He said. And the purpose is, my brother's gift, your sister's gift, our friend's gift in the Lord, He said here in the 12th verse of this chapter, they're given for the perfecting, for the maturing, for the aging, for the coming of age, for the beauty and the presentation to the lost world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Purposeful, with a reason, and He doesn't give them to all. I cannot say it's not of God. There's one Spirit, different administrations, different people and different views and different ways, but one Spirit. The oneness of God's people. Satan has come up and diversified, quote unquote, the church, or the church, as he would say. What do you want to believe? How do you want to act? What kind of sympathy this tonight do you want? Every one of us has got an area that we'd like a little sympathy with. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Okay? I got a sore back right now. I want a little sympathy for my sore back. I'm just human enough to enjoy it. But it goes more than that. Prejudices, ideas, attitudes, hurts or feelings, pride of life, envy, jealousy, those can come up too, and they can want sympathy. We shouldn't sympathize with wrong in the church. We should sympathize and reach our hand out to the hurting. But we should never say, well, you got it right. And I don't believe the church does that. Sometimes when the church does not do that, someone may have a besetting sin of lying. They do their best not to lie, but to lie. They're going to want a little sympathy. The Bible said, and we teach, all liars will have their part in the lake, burned with fire. Kind of hard to feel someone to think we're being sympathetic when we believe and teach that. So the devil says, well, these folks need some sympathy. I'll raise up a group of people and I'll have them find it one another. And I'll raise up someone that can speak rather well, and I'll do something here and do something there, and I'll get those folks together, and they can just sit there and tell the little white lies and sympathize with each other and still believe they're going to heaven. I'm using just one area here. Satan has diversified it enough. What is your problem tonight? If we're not honest, if we're not really critical with ourselves and with God, we'll start finding, looking out those places. Because I want to tell you something, folks. Without God, the Spirit, and the blood, we enjoy sympathy. We do. And that sympathetic spirit that's out there can say, well, you poor thing, they're treating you wrong. Come over here with us, and we love you. We love you. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Make no mistake about it tonight, Paul writes to us, there is one body. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven establish his kingdom. And it'll endure, I'm paraphrasing, it'll endure forever, last forever. He'll not leave it to another. The God of heaven has established a kingdom, synonymous with the church, synonymous with the new Zion, Mount Zion. Remember this tonight. Christ is not divided. There's not a plurality, and well, there are many doctrines in the church. But all the doctrines of the body of Christ, of the Bible, of Christ, however you want to describe him, they all teach us holiness unto the Lord. They teach a crucified experience. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. There's one body called out, separated. The body is the church of God. The body is Christ. And he is the head. And there's one head, Jesus Christ. There's one authority in the church, Jesus Christ. We have not been left to adulterate or change or rest the scriptures. We are not left to interpret the scriptures. We are taught to obey and to follow the scriptures. We are taught obedience to God. There's one body. So this is part of that one tonight. We've already talked some about one Holy Ghost, one Spirit. Remember what he said of the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you into all truth. Then is it any question why Satan doesn't want you or me sanctified? Is it any reason can we not comprehend the trick of Satan that keeps you or me out of the Canaan land? The Spirit is the one that opens up the understanding. Jesus said, I can't tell you some things yet, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will bring to your mind all the things that I've said. You'll understand then. Day of Pentecost, their eyes were open, their minds were open, and they began to understand. A boldness and a confidence came upon them May the Lord help us tonight. I want to tell you the truth. Satan doesn't want you possessed of the Holy Ghost. Satan doesn't want you, and he'll tell you all kind of reasons why you can't, you shouldn't. But all of it's a smoke and a lie. Because God wants to open up the land of Canaan where the milk and honey does so freely flow. Where the grapes and the pomegranates are plenty. Where there's houses you didn't build, fields you didn't till, cities you didn't build you can live in. God wants to give that to us, and Satan says, I'll tell them that they may have to give up a pet peeve. I'll tell them that they'll have to go to church on Sunday every time the door's open. I'll tell them all kind of things. The God of this world is blinding the eyes of them, the minds of them who believe not. We must believe there's one Spirit, and the necessity of that Spirit is paramount. It is God in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ, it is God, persona in the Spirit come down for us. There's one Spirit. And that Spirit does not lead us in variance with the Word, nor with one another. Satan says, oh, it's not necessary. I want you to know something. God takes pleasure in giving you the Holy Ghost. Said it's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. He takes pleasure. Paul said to the Ephesians, I don't know how he said it, the manner of his tone. If I can dream a little bit, maybe Paul met him and somebody knew Paul, somebody knew some of the Ephesians, and he said, well, Brother Paul, this is Brother whoever, and this is Sister so-and-so. Maybe they said, how do you do? Praise the Lord. Something like that. Some type of Christian greeting. I don't know. But as fast as he could get around to it, Paul had a message for him. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God enjoys giving us His Spirit. God wants to give us His Spirit. There's one Spirit. Okay? Remember that. Even as you're called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Speaking of baptism, immersion in water, perhaps. Probably in Romans, the 6th chapter, he was speaking about immersion in water. I want to look at this word baptism, perhaps, I hope it's not out of context. Was it John the Baptist? He said, there's one coming whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to loose or unloosen. And he said, and you may have to go back and get it exact, but I indeed baptize you with water. But there's one who coming after me, he said, again, who I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It speaks of in another place, in John, I believe. No. Maybe it is John. He said that his fan was in his hand, and he would thoroughly purge the threshing room floor. Satan does not want you thoroughly purged. He wants the chaff left, as much as you'll allow, as much as he can get in. He doesn't want faith, one Lord, one baptism, one immersion, one filling of the Holy Ghost and fire. And he'll offer you anything he can to keep you from it, me from it. He'll keep us in the dark. But God of heaven wants to come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's under attack today, folks. Might as well get used to it. Two works can become a, oh, we don't use that word anymore. I still use it. I still believe it. It's been misapplied. It's perhaps been misrepresented, but it's still a fact. All through the Bible, two, coming into an accepted relationship, coming in then to an infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. That's when the journey begins. That's when the life truly takes on meaning and purpose. That's when the purging can take place. That's when the growth can take place. That's when the power to say no to those things we slip under keeps happening to us, we have power over. The Holy Ghost is not an immunity to temptation. And it's not in and of itself a total immunity to backsliding. But it is power and authority that can purge out that propensity and that tendency and that desire to want to yield to the devil in the flesh. It is indeed a crucifixion of one's will and a submission and an infilling of the will of God. Not my will, Jesus said, but thine be done. May God help us tonight. God wants to baptize us with one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one, just one. One God and Father of all. God is purposeful, as we've heard tonight, someone said. And it's true. And He didn't send out Jesus with 5 or 6 commissions. He sent them out. He sent Him with one commission. He sent the church out with a commission. He's sending us out today with a commission. Be very careful. We're not, there's a sect in the United States, and one of their more fanatical branches still teach polygamy. May I say tonight that that old spirit of polygamy is also in the spiritual world. And wants your eyesight, to be blinded. He wants your eyesight not to be single and directed and pointed to Christ. One. One songwriter said there is but one true way. If Satan knows that, and I suppose he does, would it not be to his advantage to create a multiplicity of ways to satisfy my need of pity or my need of the lust of the flesh and cater to it in such a way that with a testimony of everything else that I want about salvation is there except this one thing, and it'll be changed and modified. Doctrines on marriage, doctrines on modesty, doctrines on the kingdom of God, doctrines on praise and worship, doctrines on how to, that you praise God long enough and hard enough, you got what you want. Selfish doctrines. That's to me so blatantly cater to the flesh and appeal to the greed of man. Doctrines that come from devils. Doctrines that want to separate us from one, the true God. One God and one Father of all. Is Christ divided? Is God divided? No. Tonight, I don't know how to call this burden. It's a warning, but I want it to be an encouragement. It's an encouragement, I hope, but it's also a warning that we not shy away from or be deluded away from the oneness of God, the oneness of God's people, the oneness of Christ, the oneness of the body, the oneness of the faith, the oneness of the baptism, that you and me recognize that our eye must be centered on the Word of God, that our spirit must be in obedience to the Word of God. This is our highway. This is our salvation. This is our path. This is our strength. This is our unifier. Every word in it is essential to pollute it, to change it, to try to codify and pamper the flesh by taking things out of context is wrong. God help us to not save us, deliver us, make us happy, give us the desires of our heart, take us to heaven, show us the way to live, how to please God, how to have power over sin. This truth has the unique way when it entrance of your truth and your light, it gives life to us, Lord. It has a life-giving force. The further you stay away, the further we look around at other things, the more we look around and give some other thing, some type of alternate authority in our life, we're staying that far away from life and joy and peace and what God wants us. The more we yield to our own mind and our own thinking and say, well, I don't believe that. I don't think it's that way. And we don't say those words in a humility of, Lord, teach me because I don't understand. But we're saying it in a way to justify an arrogant attitude. Some type of attitude of like, I don't want to hear that, therefore I don't believe it. We're killing ourselves. We're doing death to ourselves. It's like the man that smokes a cigarette and you say to him, you're putting another nail in your coffin. This is what we must adhere to, love, and cherish with all our heart. And His commandments, children, are not grievous. To them that love Him, to fear Him, respect Him, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing, healing of sin, healing of our old fleshly appetites, our desires, our waywardness, our carnal attitudes, our laziness and our slothfulness, our gossip and our backbitings, our disunity. Heal us. Heal us from those things that separate us from Canaan. Heal us of those attitudes and fears that keep us out of Canaan. And Lord, help us tonight with a little simple message. God, help us to know there's one that can do everything. There's one God who can change everything for the good. There's one God that we can go to for every need. He said, cast on me all your cares. We don't need sectism to teach us how to live holy. We don't need sectism to teach us how to raise our children. We don't need sectism to be there to be a stand-in for Christ. I'm not telling you. I'm not saying to us that there's not something out there that has a usefulness to a point, but it can never supplant Christ and God and the one thing. I'll tell you something. Sectism is diverse, and they can meet any need you have. They can lift up a standard to satisfy exactly where you're hurting. They can do it. And they can, same time, drop the standards all around it. But it's meeting your need of the hour at a cost of your own soul and of truth. May God help us. There's one. It's a beautiful one. Lovely one. Forgive me for this time, but all the springs of God. I don't need to go to the mosque. I don't need to go to chants. I don't need to go to sectism. I don't need All the springs are in Jesus, in God, in His church. Everything we need, that behooves you and me to be able ministers of the Word. That behooves you and me to be sanctified. A lack of sanctification will be a lack of gifts. Lack of sanctification is a lack of gifts, is a lack of efficiency for the church. Let's not you and me be the reason the people turn to Babylon. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get your gift. Get your calling. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's something that you can enjoy doing. It's something that you can see fruit from it. This one Spirit is essential. I want to go back there. We need that one Spirit. All the springs of God come down in the Spirit of God, in His Word. I don't want to be the weak link in the church of God. But if I say I'm saved, you may say you're saved. And that can be. But the Bible speaks explicitly. Let's go on to perfection. I can become and you can become the link that doesn't fill in the gap. Because I don't want to receive the Holy Ghost. I don't want to open my life's drawer totally up to Him. I want, by God's grace, to teach us by God's Word in the coming year or so more about what it means to be sanctified. It makes us effective, efficient, productive, employable by God. It's not a cure-all in the sense that it wipes away fleshly feelings, fleshly appetites, and understanding. But it is definitely the presence of God that has washed and purged us of that propensity, that yearning to wander, that wanting to go somewhere and do something wrong. And then it is also the power of God that allows you and me to rise above that which tempts us and tries us. It is not something to be afraid of, something to be coveted, something to earnestly contend for. It's something to strive to enter into. There's one, folks. There's one. His name is Jehovah. And everything falls under Jehovah. He's God. May the Lord help us tonight. You pray for me.